As a freshman at Baylor, my first semester, I took a speech communications class. Dr. Iris Hicks taught us that communication takes place on three different levels. The first level, she said, was the frivolous level. This was simple, basic, surface communication. Often this type of communication is what happens in a restaurant, with a stranger, someone you see in the neighborhood. Frivolous is, how are you doing? You really don't care, and you really don't want them to answer. That's just what you say. You know what? We've been 24 hours with no rain. Hey, boy, I sure would like a good cup of coffee. Frivolous, basic conversation. The next level is factual communication, which goes deeper. This level of communication will often happen with friends or with deeper acquaintances. Factual communication might say poverty and food insecurity are really problems in Angelina County. Or summer is here and the budget's a little low. Or Baylor, the greatest university in the empire, something like that. Factual. And then there's the third level, which is feeling. That's the deepest level where we express our intimate feelings, and usually these are only shared with close friends or very close family members. And it says something like, tell me what's going on in your life. Or, you get on my very last nerve, but I love you. Or, I love my church. Don't you? Honest communication. Moving from frivolous to factual to feelings. And the more intimate the relationship, the deeper the level of communication. It seems very true in our human relationships, but I believe it's also true in our relationship with God. Now, here's the rub. As we mature in our Christian walk, as we mature in our relationship with God, there suddenly appear these paradoxical issues, and we're not sure what to do with them. For example, God says, I will never leave you. But at times in our walk, we feel so alone from God. God's word says that God rules and he reigns over all of creation. And yet it seems at times that evil has the upper hand and that evil seems to be in control. God promises. We read it throughout his word. God promises that he will lead us and guide us and direct us. And yet there are times I feel like I'm in the bottom of a ditch with no direction. Where is God? And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life abundant and full and meaningful. But at times, life seems so empty and filled with such pain. So how do you respond to these paradox situations in our Christian walk? Oh, I know how some people do it. They just smile really big and they just say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He's so good, 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 good. And they sing, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And they just sing, God is so awesome. And what they do, they lie to themselves. Isn't there a better way of dealing with those issues? That stuff, I think it goes back to our language of faith. And the language of faith allows for a time of complaint. That's what Psalm 13 is about. Psalm 13 is a complaint psalm, often referred to as a lament, a psalm that calls out boldly and honestly to God. In the Bible, there are over 50 individual psalms that are called laments. 17 of the laments are community laments. As a matter of fact, in the psalm, there are more laments, more complaint psalms than psalms of praise, more than psalms of thanksgiving. The biggest body of psalms in the Psalter are laments. Journey with me as we look at the psalmist who moves from complaint to communication, finally to confidence. Rainey read the text, Psalm 13. In verses 1 and 2, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times, the psalmist yells out at God, "How long? How long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my heart? How long will my enemy win over me?" This psalmist from Psalm 13 is right in God's face. The psalmist isn't singing, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place." The psalmist is saying, "Where are you, God?" The psalmist is saying, "God, we need to talk. I suffer. I'm alone. I'm in need. I'm hurting. God, where are you?" I think verses 1 and 2, there are at least two lessons that jump from the text. The first is, when life falls apart, you can turn to God and not away from God. That may be the most significant truth of all the Psalms. You can turn to God when life falls apart and not away from God. The psalmist didn't close God out. The psalmist didn't crawl into a hole. The psalmist didn't have a pity party by himself. He didn't run to his friends, because friends don't always have great advice. He didn't tell others how mean and unjust God was. He turned directly to God. When life falls apart for you, and it will, the first place to turn is directly to God. Secondly, as you turn to God, you can be honest with God. I've heard it more times than I wish I knew, more times than I can recall. In the midst of someone going through tragedy, going through chaos, going through loss, some well-meaning friend, some Christian brother or sister will say, "Now, don't question God. You know, this is just God's will. You'll understand it better by and by." I submit we can question God. We can come to God with all of our questions. Moses did. Jeremiah surely did. Job did. Paul questioned God. The psalmist in Psalm 13 questioned God, and even Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God is big enough for any question. God is big enough for any question. God can handle it. He can handle your anger and your hurt. God is big enough for you to come into His presence and to scream out, "Oh, Lord God, why? How long? How long?" That's our relationship. It's an intimate relationship where we speak honestly and openly, where we can share with God what we think and what we feel. Complain to God honestly, because I think when we complain to God and we vent to God, it leads us, as it did the psalmist, to a next level where real communication begins to happen. Because when I'm venting, when I'm yelling at God, it's just me doing the talking. But the psalmist, verse 3, after saying, how long, how long, how long, how long, verse 3, oh God, look on me and answer me, Lord, my God, would you give light to my eyes so I won't sleep in death and my enemy won't say I have won and my foes won't rejoice. You hear the change from verse 1 and 2 to 3 and 4? In verse 1 and 2, the psalmist is fixed on his turmoil. But finally, the psalmist in verse 3 begins to communicate with God about the situation. And the psalmist begins to tell God why. Why he needs God to do something. As I read the psalm, I wish I knew more. Because we don't know if the crisis in the life of the psalmist, did it end? What was the crisis? What was an individual harassing him? Was David writing at a time when his enemies were all around him? Maybe there was another war that he was in the midst of. Perhaps the psalmist's enemy was his own sin. Or maybe it was death that was harassing him all around him. We don't know. We don't have to know. The key is not what the problem was. The key is what the psalmist did with the problem. The psalmist goes before God. After venting and complaining, he begins to visit and commune with God. Because he had that relationship, he honestly expressed his feelings. He began to try to understand and relate to God. And he said those words, oh Lord, my God. Oh Lord, my God, answer me. From verse 3 and 4, we see that communication with God is so vital. If we're to have a real relationship, we don't need to be afraid about complaining or venting or communicating. To visit with God. To do so, I think we do have to move beyond that initial explosion where we just let it all out and we begin to dialogue and commune and listen. Often I just want to talk. If I would just be still and hear God. That face-to-face, open dialogue. Oh, folks, this week, this very week, some families at our church, they've had some long talks with God. I don't know all of them, but I know some who've walked through the path of a death. Walker's best friend was his dad, and his dad died when he was supposed to get better. And I know this week Walker's talked a lot to God. Not just Walker, it's been some of you. We have some church members this week who've had received some terrible news about their health. It seems cancer's knocking on their door of their life, and some have gone through some terrible family issues. And some are just hurting so deeply, and some are in the midst of a transition in life. And this week they've begun the process of communicating with God. Honestly, not frivolous, not even factual, but deep feeling to God. And the psalmist then came to that point where he said, verse 5, but, wait, how long? How long? How long? How long? God, answer me. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. What a change. Was the problem of the psalmist solved? I don't know. Was the enemy suddenly defeated? Who can tell? Was the psalmist's pain suddenly gone? I hope that there seems to be no indication in the text that anything changed in the psalmist's life, but his spirit and his attitude and his heart. The complaint he brought to God, the dialogue and communication he had with God reminded the psalmist of some things that he had been in danger of forgetting. He remembered again God's unfailing love. The psalmist remembered again God is a God of mercy and grace. He remembered God was faithful. He remembered the salvation that God had given him, and he began to rejoice in the goodness of God. God gave him back his song. You know, I'm not sure what translation Rainey read from. Often when I want to read something fresh and new of Scripture, I go to a different translation. I want you to hear Psalm 13 from Peterson's The Message. Psalm 13, long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough, long enough. I've carried this ton of trouble. I've lived with this stomach full of pain long enough. God, my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, God. My God. I want to look life in the eye so no enemy can get the best of me, so no one will laugh when I fall on my face. God, I throw myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. God, you are so good. What begins in despair ends in hope. What begins in protest ends in praise. From desolation to delight, from darkness to dawn, from venting to victory, from tragedy to triumph, from the absence of God to the very presence of God. And finally, the psalmist finds his confidence and victory. Praise is an important word in our language of faith. I think we would all agree. Praise for a believer and follower of Christ. Praise is that word. But honest lament, complaint can also be in our language of faith. Honest protest before God. God, we need to talk. I'm so glad, my God. I'm so glad our God is a God that says, come to me. I'm thankful that we have a God who desires our praise and a God who is open to our complaint. A complaint which then leads to honest communication And that communication will always lead me back to confidence. Confidence in Him. Shall we pray? This old life is hard. God, we need You. And sometimes, God, we don't understand it. And we don't like it. And we hurt so much. And I'm so grateful for Psalm 13, for Your holy word that preserved for us not a sugar-coated psalm, but a psalm that said, how long, how long, how long, how long? Oh God, hear me. But You are faithful. You are good. So we just keep trusting. We don't understand it. We don't always like it. But we've learned to trust You. Keep teaching us, God, to trust You, because we can trust You. You've never failed us yet, and You won't. 'Tis so sweet. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. May that be our song. May that be our song. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.